Tales of the Stupid.
Yay!
Tales of the Stupid. Okay, so I'm going to go last, actually. I'll let everybody else get theirs.
Yours was, like, really long. Maybe you should go first.
Okay.
That took a lot of convincing.
Wow. Way to stand by your principles.
My arm, it's made out of rubber. The only problem is, mine are long, so if we run over time, that means somebody gets cut off.
That's fine. Mine's not really that long or interesting.
So, yeah. Well, keeping with the theme, it actually runs quite well into the theme of our Gurkha.
Sweet.
I'm not a Gurkha. I'm not. Generally speaking, if I get into a fight, I need help. And I don't think that's... I'm ready to admit that. That's all right. So this is the this is the tale of the Stupid. It's once again going back to the hospital because all of my best stories are from the hospital.
No, you're right. My best stories... I've had no stories that come even close to the ones I did when I was in the hospital.
And to be clear, the stupid person is not going to be the actual person who's the central figure in the story. It is the people who manage the hospital roster, as always. Surrey Memorial Hospital has always had, well, at least as long as I had worked there, a policy of only accepting male guards. I never quite agreed with that because I've worked at Royal Columbian and met women the size of minivans who could very easily handle anything that you would throw at them. So I don't think you need to separate guards by gender, but you should separate guards that are going to tackle the job of wrestling naked insane people. You should make sure that they are both physically and psychologically equipped to wrestle naked insane people. That's kind of important. And it takes a very special kind of person to want to do that. So we had a guard who's... the story will not make sense if use her name.
Yeah, use her name. I don't really care. This woman's such a tool. I really don't care if she's
offended.
Well,
it's not really her fault, though. You know, she was assigned to the site. This is my point.
No, but her behavior... Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, her name is Robin. S.O. Robin. And she was on her very first job, her very first site, and she gets posted to Surrey Memorial Hospital. One of the jobs that we have to do at Surrey Memorial Hospital...
I'm shaking my head.
I think the question should be, who didn't she blow to end up getting that position?
No, she didn't blow anybody. This is just the way the security industry works.
This is her first job as a security guard, or just her...
This was her first job, period.
Oh, dear Lord.
Like, she graduated high school.
We have a double face palm.
And did and got into the, like... She said like in my talking with her more than I do. You know?
Wow.
I'm, like, totally stoked to be here. But
you just upset because she didn't blow you.
Yes, that is one of the things that added insult to injury. But she's posted to Surrey Memorial, and she gets on the shift with me. And I usually like to be with more experienced people because I don't like wrestling naked insane people alone. I like to pass around the pleasure that is wrestling naked insane people.
The gift of sharing.
They put the brand new guard with me, and so I thought, okay, no problem. If a patient comes in, I was kind of hoping a patient wouldn't come in, but if a patient comes in, I'll just get her on the lower leg. You know, two people tackle the person at once, and one person's on the upper body where all of the punchy stabby bits are, and the other person's on the lower body
where all the kicky runny parts are.
Yeah, and you know, if you do this properly, anybody can take someone down if you've got this and it's coordinated. It's really not that hard. So a patient comes in who was a knife-wielding maniac from the very start. Like, he didn't even have a knife, but one materialized in his hand every time he looked at you. And he was being committed by his family, who didn't want anyone to do anything violent to him, like families usually don't.
We just don't want him to be hurt. We care for him.
So we're waiting. We're waiting around for a doctor to come and pink slip this guy. And
by the way, in Canada, I love that they actually the slip which they sign for the commitment order, which is 90 days, is pink. So yeah. We literally in the hospital we call it. You've just been pink slipped.
Yeah, you've been That's fired awesome. From life. Go into the room. So anyway. Anyway, we're sitting here, we're watching this guy, and you know, he's sitting there talking to the walls in a strange language that only he can understand. And I'm thinking, you know, a nurse is going to come in with a needle, and we're going to have to tackle this guy.
Yeah.
And I said that out loud, because I wanted S.O. Robin to realize.
S.O. stands for Security Officer.
Yes. To realize that she was going to be required to help me tackle someone. Because I've actually been through this before. The same guy who shouted, "There she is, go get her."
Numpty McFucknuts.
Yeah, Numpty McFucknuts. Numpty McFucknuts has done this to me too. But this episode was a little bit funnier just because of her name and the fact that when he finally did go insane, the nurse came in with needle. As they're not supposed to do. You're supposed to conceal the needle. You're not supposed to telegraph your punch like that. He stood up, shouted, "God, that's in your needle boots!" And...
Is that a quote?
Yes. I got quote, unquote, "Next up, sie dir mit der Mutz."
Sounds German.
Almost, yeah.
Anyway.
So he was a Nazi and a Gurkha.
No, we can't say Nazi because then we'd have to end the story.
And, he wasn't a Gurkha. Thank God.
They don't commit those guys. Yeah. They let them run free.
So anyway, I'm like, okay.
They promote them.
So I'm like, anyway... okay, I get up and I go for the upper body. I'm going for the upper body, and I'm on the upper body, and he's not going down. And I don't understand. He should be going down now that I'm on the upper body. He appears to have a very good stance. You know, have I ever told you, Mr. Insane Person, that I love you?
You're
a beautiful man. I've always wanted you to know that. And I'm thinking, where is S.O.? I don't see S.O. Robin. I don't understand. And S.O. Robin was nowhere to be found. So anyway, after I get
she's not just standing and watching. She ran.
She ran. She ran.
To the bathroom.
And that's what makes it amusing, because at least Numpty McFucknut stayed there and watched me get thrashed around by George. Actually,
damn, that looks like it hurts.
But you know, but yeah, she ran, and so the nurse, whose job this is not. Eventually tackled his legs, and I sort of tripped him, and he went down, and eventually a number of other guards came, and we got him restrained. But that's the closest to death I've ever come doing that job. That's saying something. But I got out, and she was having a cigarette where the ambulances are. Where they come in?
Yeah, so she was traumatic. She needed a moment to
all I could think to do was start singing. But S.O. Robin ran away, bravely ran away. When danger reared its ugly head, S.O. Robin turned her rear and fled. And S.O. Robin backed right out. She ran away. She chickened out. Bravely running, bravely fleeing, bravely leading a brave retreat. Bravely fleeing is S.O. Robin. She quit the next day.
You made her quit.
Yeah, I don't know if she quit the company, but she at very least quit the site.
She didn't belong there anyways.
Yeah, I mean...
Honestly, it's probably the best thing for her. She would get injured.
Yeah, I understand diversity. I understand that. But you need to have people who are actually qualified. I mean, if you've got someone who freezes, I don't care if their balls are as big as watermelons.
Yeah.
If they freeze, they need to be assigned to do something other than escorting mental patients.
Yeah.
And there are other jobs to do in the hospital. It's not even just that Paladin posted her to the hospital.
Ooh.
It's that
No, he stated that Paladin can go fuck itself, and he will state its name as much as possible.
Oh, okay. Besides, I said that I worked for at Surrey Memorial Hospital, and like they've had the contract for that forever, so I know it's putting two and five together.
But back to the math again. Back to the math that we talked about.
Malcontent math. But yeah, I mean, you have to actually assign people correctly. Because, I mean, for one thing...
I've actually got... Do you mind if I
can? No, the story's pretty much over.
I've got a tale of the stupid that I wasn't going to tell, but your story has reminded me about Surrey Memorial Hospital and the guards there.
Yeah.
Okay, now, this was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we have a friend who worked in the hospital. She was an ER nurse. And she invited us out for her lunch at, like, it was a midnight. She was on a graveyard shift. She invited us out to have lunch with her in between rounds. And so me and the wife went down, and we're going to have lunch with this nurse. And so we met her in the front foyer. She said, oh, the cafeteria is closed, but I got the key to the door, so we'll just go in and have a nice quiet lunch in the cafeteria. So we were going down there.
La, 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 la.
And she goes to swipe her card, and it wasn't swiping properly or whatever. And one of the guards was doing his rounds and came up and was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm a nurse." She showed him her badge. She's like, "I'm just going to go in here and eat my lunch." He's like, "You can't go in there."
Oh, I hate people like that.
You can't. No. You are unauthorized. And she's like, he's like pointing at me. You are unauthorized. You're in a restricted section of the hospital. This is closed. And then he grabs my wife's arm and yanks on her.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is... Okay, now I don't... So security guards are fine, but... And what actually angered me, or what bothers me most... Like, I was angry at the time, but now when I look back at it, what bothers me most is his situational awareness.
Yeah.
He is 5'9". Built like a stick figure, and he's alone in a hallway with me and two ladies, one of which he's assaulting. One of them is my wife, which is the one he's assaulting.
Notice how quiet I've become.
Yeah.
I had him 2 feet off the ground by the front of his neck,
mm-hmm,
against a wall, and was very quietly asking him to let go of my wife.
He was still holding her while 2 feet off.
No, he still had a hold of her arm.
He's stubborn.
I had him by the neck, and I'm like, "You let go of my wife. Let go of my wife." He finally did, and he's like, "I'm going to call the cops."
That would probably be the best for you to do.
He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "You probably should have done that before you assaulted my wife."
Yeah.
If you were really worried about us being in a restricted area of the hospital. And he's like, well, and then he started going off with something about he's a trained security professional and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like,
professional.
I lost my shit, to be quite honest. I just started screaming at him. I let him down. Like, I didn't hurt him or nothing. I lifted him up off the ground, slammed him against the wall, and then let him drop.
I was waiting for the part where you said he was delicious.
No, enough
Tabasco sauce.
No, because I wasn't interested in insulting him. I wanted him to let go of my wife.
Yeah.
Like, all he said is, "You're in a restricted area," and then he grabs her arm and hauls her down, starts hauling her down the hallway. What? So... I let him down, and he starts telling me, you know, he's in charge, he's a security professional, you know, I'm going to be going to jail, and I'm like, do it, go ahead. And at this point, I'd started working in Langley for about 2 years since I actually worked in Surrey, but I knew most of the Surrey cops by like first name basis, and I'm like, go ahead, just please. And he was and he's like, what? I'm like, you want to use my cell phone? Like, who are you? Like, this guy was just dumb, and he's still standing there by himself in this hallway after I have slammed him against the wall.
There are two kinds of people. Actually, there are three kinds of people who end up working in this business.
He didn't call for backup, too. That was the funny part. I'm like, there's more than one guard in the hospital, isn't there?
There are.
There was a team of eight when I was there.
People who can't get a better job. That's number one. There are people who are, and I'm going to include myself in this, that are lazy. That this is a really easy job for them, and 90% of the time I'm sitting on my site reading a book or watching a movie. So, I mean, it's an easy job.
Yeah.
There's actually some people who need an extra job and try to do it while they work during the day,
or go
to school, and they sleep when they're on their sites. We won't mention any names, but
all know who you are.
Yeah. Wake up!
And finally, there's the last kind of person who gets this type of job, and that is the people that wanted to be a cop, wanted to be in charge.
Couldn't pass the psych test.
Yeah. And...
or look down the barrel of the gun when they were trying to load it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those are the kind of guys that give all the rest of us a bad name.
Well, I'd say all four of those.
I didn't hear any good names.
It was just astounding, the lack of
situational
awareness. He refused to recognize reality.
Yeah. And this is my point. I mean, these companies, and frankly the clients, know who these people are. They know that they're getting people whose primary qualifications are speaking English and graduate high school. You really do need to screen before you assign.
Yeah.
You got to put more thought into this. It's not just a matter of who's free, let's shove them there. No. Some sites that works. You know, you got a construction site, you know, you can shove anybody on a construction site. But if you actually expect someone to do something, then you have to be confident about who they're, and they have to be a team.
At no time was I interested in hurting the little fellow. I mean, but when I put him down, he continued to berate me.
Yeah.
He actually got in my face and was like, "You need to go now, go! You know, the police are on their way." And I'm like, "You didn't radio anybody. I've been standing here the whole time."
Good try.
I used my mental powers.
You didn't know that I had mental powers, did you, cave troll?
The police just listen to me all the time. They know I get into trouble, and they have a 24/7 monitoring system on me.
Yeah.
My heart's sped up, therefore they're on the way.
And sometimes they talk to me. They talk to me in my head, and they tell me to do things.
Are you sure he wasn't a patient at the hospital?
Was his uniform white?
He was like wearing clothes, white? And he had a yellow coat.
He might have stolen mine.
Yes.
Do I come into this story running after him naked, going, "Stop that guy! Let go of me! That's the patient! I'm a professional! The Lord told me so! God damn it, get his lowers!" Oh, that almost made up for how flat the actual story was. Oh, I've redeemed myself, thank God. And I haven't basically tortured any Syrians.
You just said
basically. Basically, fuck. Screw it, I'll make their job easy. Yeah, basically. Just tell them where it is, it will all end. Basically.
Have I said it tonight, actually?
No, it's all been us.
It's been us. We're taking over. You've given us your disease.
I'm free!
I think Dax developed telepathy, and he's like, okay, I want Malcontent to say it now.
Yeah, basically!
Okay, but I actually have a tale of the stupid, though, if I may.
You may.
Okay.
So you get two tales of the stupid?
No, the one, he brought it up, the hospital.
All right, we'll call it a segue. All right.
Because this was a good one. I've been thinking of this one all week. Okay. This is when I worked in the biker bar in Wally. Okay.
Cool.
Now,
those are two things that should never go together.
I was at the door, and we'll call him Bubble Butt. was my partner at the time.
Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And he was, I was working, like I said, I was working in Wally, and I was at the front door, and he was at the bar chatting up the female bartender, because that was his hobby. And this BMW drives up to the door, okay? And I'm like,
wait. Is this the bar I think we're talking about?
Yeah, this is like the hardest bar in Surrey.
Is this, the Dirty Bird or...
it's the one next door to the Dirty
Bird. Okay.
Like, this is... picture every bad roadhouse movie biker bar you've ever pictured. This is where I worked.
Yeah.
So this BMW shows up, and these three football player-looking black dudes get out.
Uh-huh.
And walk up to the door. Yeah. And they're like, I'm like, hi! And they're like, hi! And they're all smiling at me. And I'm like, Something I can do for you, gentlemen? They're like, no, no, actually, we're here to shoot that guy. And I'm shitting you.
wait. At least they were nice.
Who did they point at?
They pointed at Bubble Butt. And
is he Bubble Butt not your partner?
Yeah, he's my partner. He's the other bouncer. And so I they're pointing at him through the glass doors across the bar, and they can see him at the bar, way at the other end of the bar.
And I
literally went and I waved at him. And I'm like making hand signs with my backs to these guys. I'm like, trying to get, and I turn around and I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah. You know, if you just stand over there, and he's ours.
Yeah, maybe they're like, and I'm like, he's his partner. He hates him, right? He'll let us in.
You know, there's more logic to that than you know.
I spend the next 2.7 seconds going, okay, they're three black dudes. Apparently, one. You know, I'm like looking at their sneaker colors. All their. I'm like, okay, identifying. They don't have any guns in their hands. And I'm like, so you're going to shoot him? And they're like, yep. Okay. And I'm like, okay, how long would it take me to, like, I can't take three dudes by myself.
Yeah.
If any one of them has a gun that they have, whatever, I'm done. And I'm like, okay, can we talk about, like, I'm just like,
can we talk this?
Because they're not actually, they're just standing there talking to me about it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep them talking. And meanwhile, I have one hand behind my back and I'm knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, like waving my fingers and like looking like really trying to look nervous so that somebody notices that I need help. And he's like, go ahead and feel behind my back here. And he literally just kind of turns and I put my hand out and I'm like, okay, now I could, you know, put my thumb in his eye and drop him to the ground.
Yeah.
But then the other two, I'm like, all right, well, at least I can confirm.
You do have a gun.
He has a gun. And I feel the back of his pants, and yes, there's something metal, you know, it feels like a gun in the back of his pants. And so I take about a second and a quarter to regain bladder control. And I'm like, guys, no.
I love the little question mark.
I'm sorry. I just can't let you shoot someone.
I can't let you go and shoot him.
Fuck, like what, those morals like
what,
suck.
What is this? They? What is this over? And he's like, he tossed me out. Apparently, Bubble Butt the night before, this guy had spilled a bunch of beers all over the bar. And like ran into a waitress, knocked her tray over, and drunkenly, you know, was belligerent. And Bubble Butt picked him up, ran him out the doors, and tossed him into the street.
So this is just over. Oh, fuck.
And so this guy came back because he was treated. You know, he thought it was a racial thing, and came back with his buddies and wanted to shoot my friend. So, anyways, long story short, I keep him talking. And I'm knocking on the door, making gang signs behind my back. And I managed to... He has a conversation with me. I play some, like, verbal ninjutsu. And I'm like, well, that sucks, man. Like, he threw you out. Why? Can I get you... I mean, I can get you a beer. Like, I'll even bring it out here. You can drink it out here. I don't even care.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, nobody's watching. There's no cameras or anything. Yeah. So, whatever. You know, like, can I get... How much of your money? I'll just give you your money back and a beer. You want a beer? And I just keep him talking.
Yeah.
And eventually, some cops pull into the parking lot.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, just doing their rounds. And I'm screaming, he's got a gun! Yeah, I just... And they're... Because they don't actually turn around. They don't see the cops behind them. Okay, the cops pull in. And I just, like... I'm going, like, so can I get you... He's got a gun! He's got a gun!
No pride left at this moment.
No, I don't give a shit. I don't get paid enough, man.
By the way, that is real skill. we talk about combat and idolize and everything, but I am in awe of people who can talk their way out of these situations and prevent combat. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Uncle Dak, and actually another big fat guy that I worked at with the hospital, who's also Irish, was also really good at it.
It's 90% of the job, honestly, is being able to keep someone talking long enough for the cops to show up.
Seriously, just keep fucking just keep talking.
Art eventually, of bullshit.
Yeah.
Eventually, the cops will respond.
Yeah.
We just got to keep talking.
Yeah.
But I've never been good at that.
That's not the funny bit. Okay. No, the cops come out with guns drawn. Okay. Uh-huh. Put these guys down. Stand on their necks for a while.
Yeah.
And ask, and then ask me what's going on. And I'm like, they've got guns. They said they were going to shoot that guy.
Yeah.
And waves back at me as I'm
okay, now I know who the stupid one was in this story.
He's wondering why the cops are outside, standing on these black guys. And so when the cops search these guys, it's a tire iron down the back of his pants. And the other guy's got, they all have like metal bars. One of them's actually a tire iron. The other ones are just metal clubs. They have shoved down the back of their pants. Yeah. Okay.
Oldest trick in the book.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow. And they almost got shot. Like, the cops were not fooling around. It's not, they didn't just like pull their guns and go, okay, get on the ground. They put it to the back of his head.
Yeah.
And were like, you are going to get canceled. Get on the ground.
Did he actually say get canceled?
Well, no, but he was screaming. Like, the cops went ape shit.
Yeah. Well, that would have been rad.
What they were probably hoping for is that you get out of their way because you're standing in front of a gun.
No, I went face first on the ground.
No, I mean, before the cops got there, that when they arrived and they said, we're going to shoot that guy.
You would just move.
That you would just get out of their way because you're not going to, you know, even the you're not going to stand in the way of a bullet for the asinine amount of, well, not for him and not for the asinine amount of money we make. So that's what they're expecting, and that they'd be in and out of there and bash him over the head with a tire iron. The problem with their logic is once they produce the tire irons, they'd have to get back out through the door. There's one door.
The thing is, okay, so they have him on the ground, they search him, they find the tire iron, and I go off. Yeah. Like, the cops damn near have to restrain me. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? I was going to kill you. Like, the only way, like, I'm not going to survive a confrontation with you, so I'm going to take you with me. Like, that's just my mentality. If you had gone for anything in the back of your pants at any time, if your hand had gone anywhere back there, I would have gone out with you. I would have taken you with me. Like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, so they haul them off. I never see them again. I get a call 2 weeks later. Hi, this is Crown Counsel in Surrey. We'd like you to come in as a key witness in a case involving a threat with a weapon. And I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. All right. But the weird thing is that they didn't call it. There wasn't actually a court date. The Crown Counsel actually called me into his office.
Yeah, no, that
to sit
actually
down with him.
Yeah, that now that happened with the two times I've actually had an issue where I've had to go testify. Mm-hmm. Before you go and testify, they want to know what your story is. They want to know what you're going to say.
Because I gave a statement, but they wanted to go through the statement with me.
Yeah, they want to go. They want to decide whether or not to use you as a witness.
Well, that's what I thought he wanted. Okay, so I went into the office, and that's not actually what they wanted. I sat down, the Crown's like, so this is a weird one. And I'm like, and he's like, so this guy is a married professional. He doesn't have so much as a traffic ticket. He's got three kids and a lovely wife. He's never, like I said, never so much had a traffic ticket, never been involved in the law before. He's not a gangster. He's like some kind of an engineer or something like that.
And okay. He just got stupid.
And he just lost his shit and went crazy. This one time, and Mr. Mr. Cave Troll, would you be adverse to us dropping the charges? And I went, is he ever going to come anywhere near my bar again? And he's like, nope, because if he does, his ass is mine. And I swear to God, that's what the Crown Counsel told me. He didn't actually use the word ass, but he was like, no. And I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me. I never have to lay eyes on him again.
Yeah.
But he had a wife, kids. He's never been involved in law before. He comes to... And did I mention what kind of a bar this was?
Yeah, this is a biker... This is probably the second scummiest bar in...
In the Lower Mainland.
Lower Mainland, yeah.
Okay, and he came with a tire iron shoved down the back of his pants and was threatening to shoot someone.
Not thinking a lot.
Are you? Yeah. Really?
Well...
That is one of the stupidest people I have ever encountered.
Yeah.
It was funny because I was like, so what was that all about? Or sorry, Bubble Butt. It was like, so what was that? Just some black guys coming to kill you. Oh, what? Okay. What? Like, and I was like, can I have a beer?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Like, I went home, to be quite honest. I was rather shaken up.
You were talking about identifying a gun, not to do a whole other tangent, yeah. But the one time I had... Well, I've actually had a gun put in my face.
Well, so have I, but that
I've had a shotgun, but I had an incident at Langley Memorial where... I guess what had actually occurred, this guy had slammed into the rear of a family and then stood out and waved a pistol in the air and was like screaming at their, they can't say anything. The father, however, who was driving the car, just floored it and got the fuck out of there, went and called the cops. Mm-hmm. And then went up to Langley Memorial because they wanted to see if any, they were all shaken up and they also wanted to see if any of them were hurt. While they're waiting there, cop came in, told me this whole story, told me to keep an eye out for him. Cop leaves because there was something else going on. Family is waiting because it's a Friday or Saturday night, so it's mayhem central. And in wanders this guy, who is very intoxicated. He's holding a paper bag and starts telling me this story about there's a family and they were in an accident and I got a change of clothes for the little girl. And I'm like, okay, who are you? Oh, I was sent by their pastor from their local church. And I'm like,
is that
really?
A freaking movie?
Yeah, and I'm like, and then he puts the bag down on the table, and I hear ka-thunk. And, like, literally.
My security senses are tingling.
The voice in the back of my head, there was no, you know how you have doubt and you go, I think that is? There was none of that. None of that.
Doubt.
It was literally 100%, that's a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was just like, ka-thunk.
Oh, no, that's...
And it was just, that's a gun. The story then degrades into, and actually, I'll tell you what, this will be my stupid story because this is the stupid part of the whole thing. I say, okay, I'll tell you what, can I get you just to go out into the waiting room and I'll go get the family for you and see if we can find them. And now I knew that the waiting room was not too busy and I figured if I could just move quick enough, I could deal with it before it turned into a fucking shooting spree. Cause that was my fucking fear. And I thought, you know, if I jump across the table and grab for the bag and I fuck this up, somebody will get shot. I wasn't worried about me. And I swear to God, that was not the thought going through my head. My thought was, and I literally said a prayer, and I have not done this in a lot of years. And they say there are no atheists in foxholes. They are not fucking kidding. I said, please God, don't let me fuck this up and get somebody killed. And so he goes out into the waiting room, and I run over, and I get the family, and I take them down. I said, can I get you guys to come with me? Get them down to the nurse's station. Shove them in there. I say, just stay here. And I close the door. And I got one of the nurses screaming at me right away. What are you doing putting them in there? And I'm like, do me a favor. Go tell the admitting clerk. Call the cops. We have a man with a gun. What? We have a man with a gun. He has a gun in the bag.
Yeah, what is coming. Not the word? It's yes said. Is the
yeah.
is the word you want.
I can hear
call
the conclusion
cops.
Coming.
No.
So, I wander over. And I see the nurse standing at the station, right? The main nurse's station. I said, call the police. Get 911. Tell the cops we have a man with a gun in a brown paper bag. What? We have a man. Oh, no. You're going to be loving this, guys. We have a man with a gun in a brown paper bag. Get the cops. I walk out. The dragon queen, the admitting clerk, is screaming at me, and she's, what are you doing sending that drunk out here? You know you're not supposed to send unmonitored people like when they're that bad. And I'm like, did you talk to him? Of course I talked to him. Why the hell did you? Where did he go? He just went outside. What? Dragon Queen, call the cops. I think he has a gun in a paper bag. Because now I'm starting to doubt myself because I'm worried that
Surely this many people can't be wrong.
Can't be wrong. So, I must be the one who's wrong.
I must be imagining it. I've stepped into the Twilight Zone. Any minute now, William Shatner is going to come in and go, I have a gun.
You do believe me, don't you?
There's something on the wing. I don't know. I just don't know. So he had gone outside. So I step outside and there is like he's walking down towards Fraser Highway, which is all this long...
I've reconsidered this idea. Maybe so, this wasn't my best move ever. So, I'll just walk into traffic now.
I'm going to take my gun and I'm going to go home.
So I run back inside and I say, have you called the cops? And she says, no, you weren't clear about what you were saying. Literally said that to me.
Everything bad. He had the gun. And he's now over there. Call the police.
My palm hitting my
before
head.
Before I kill you.
What?
That's it. Grab her. Hike her up to where George is. Because I'm sure there's a George in this hospital. Just toss her in there and let whatever happens, happen.
No, you turn into Samuel. Say what again, motherfucker? Say what again? I double dog dare you. Say what?
No, wait, wait. The story doesn't end.
Oh, God. Oh,
no.
I grab the phone. Because I figure everyone on this planet is too stupid to explain this. 911.
Oh,
police, fire, or ambulance. Police, please, Langley. Hi, I'm the security guard over at Langley Memorial. I have a male fitting this description. I believe he has a gun in a brown paper bag.
What?
He is walking up towards Fraser Highway. Okay. I give the full description of the guy once again. I've already started with the description, but I give a full description again. Okay, I am going to go outside and see if he is coming back here. So I'm not going to stay on the line. Click. I go outside. About, and because the Langley detachment is very close to
across the street.
So they come screaming over. He's going, you got a problem? I said, did you see him? Who? I described him. I said he has a brown bag. When he put it on the table, I am almost certain I heard the sound of a gun hitting the table. What? They didn't tell me that. So he gets on the mic and starts.
The dispatch didn't tell the guy
yes,
had a gun.
The fucking dispatcher did not tell this on. Apparently, the words "he has a gun in a brown paper bag." Coming out of Uncle Dak's mouth turns into bleep.
Are you sure you were speaking English?
I don't know another language, so yeah.
We should get the nurse's side of the story. So he came up to me and I was like, I didn't know what he was saying. It all happened so fast.
Say what again?
So the cops get four vehicles.
Yeah.
Surround this guy who is now staggering down Fraser Highway. Yes, he had an unloaded 357 Magnum with a box of bullets inside the brown paper bag.
So what was he going to do? All right, family, I'm going to... Oh, wait a minute.
No, the idea was that he was going to, and I quote, according to what he said, he was going to, and he actually told the cops this, he was going to threaten them. So that they wouldn't tell on him because he had been drinking.
He does realize if the revolver's unloaded, everybody can tell the revolver's unloaded, right?
Yeah.
Well,
but the thing is, it was in a brown bag. So I didn't know. I just heard clink. Okay?
How do you threaten somebody with a brown bag?
Well, no, he was... I don't know if
he
was...
No, he would have taken the gun out. Once he had, he was going to claim to have clothing for the kid,
get
the family alone, and then threaten them so that when the police did arrive to inquire as to the accident, they wouldn't say anything about the guy.
With an unloaded revolver.
Because he didn't want to hurt anybody. He just wanted to scare them.
And you know what? When most people see a gun, they're not like, I don't believe that gun is loaded. I don't see the safety
if you're looking
off.
Down the barrel, you can see that there's no bullets.
Yes, but see, most of them aren't us.
Yeah.
And how many times has a revolver been pulled on you?
None, but I'm just I've fired a revolver and I'm not going to say pointed the barrel at my face, but you can tell it's loaded.
That's against the rules.
The thing is, if somebody points a gun at you, your first thought is going to be he has a gun.
That's true.
You know, and all other thoughts will be drowned out. And if you have the presence of mind to go, I don't think that gun is loaded, then you're a professional soldier, and that guy made a big mistake.
Yeah, the last time someone pointed a gun at me, I flew 15 feet, and I'm 400 pounds. I crossed 15 feet in the amount of time that it took him to blink, and I went through a bathroom door, laid on the ground, and put both my feet up against the door.
and felt very manly.
And felt very manly. No, I was like, yes!
I won.
I survived.
When this when it was over, it's funny you said the bathroom. When the cops got him and everything, I turned, went back, explained to everyone who was yelling at me over what the hell I was doing, and explained what happened. They went, he had a gun? And I went, yes.
Yes, he had a gun. Yes. What?
Yes. By the way, just a second, I have to go get a gun.
By the way, I am amazed.
This is a gun.
I amazed myself.
The dangerous end is here.
I amazed myself at the fact that I kept calm in both how I handled it and after the fact.
Yeah.
I then went, locked the door on the bathroom, and literally shook.
Yeah, you lose your shit. I laid on that bathroom floor for 15 minutes.
Actually, I probably shook for about 5 minutes, and just once it was over, I was like, okay. And the thought kept going through my mind was that every form of energy in the universe was against me right at that point. And I have to thank God, karma, Allah, Buddha.
The great calculator.
The great spaghetti monster, what have you. That I didn't fuck that up and somebody get their brains blown out. You know, the weird part is, and I say this afterwards, I was sitting there when I'm shaking. I realized I was never scared that I was the one who was going to get shot. I was scared to death I was going to fuck that up and the family was going to get shot.
Yes, Dak, you are a glorious human being.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, it was so weird.
Sunlight shines out your asshole. Yes.
No. Let's be fair. That's... There are weird things that go through. So things stick in your head.
Yeah, and it was just, I was so...
Did I remember to turn the oven off?
You know, you say something like that and you laugh, but...
No, I know.
When you get into those kind of situations, like, you know, you got someone with a knife or a gun or whatever, afterwards, the weirdest things sticking into your head.
Yeah.
You're like, I should be really scared right now, but I'm trying to wonder whether or not I need to redo my tax return. You know, like, did I do enough deductions? And you're like... I almost got stabbed. Is my T4 late? like the weirdest things are in your brain.
Yeah. No, he's right. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It was the weirdest thing. It was like I cannot describe to you just how emotionally it was my fear of just fucking it up and getting somebody killed. And it was like nothing about me. It was like, literally, I was like, I knew I was going to get through it or something.
Well, he was probably seeing double. Say, you look like the driver to me. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Mayhem.
Oh, me? My
yes.
turn?
Your yes, turn.
Your
yes. turn.
Okay.
Tag, you're it.
Yay. Anyway. I've been doing this job for almost 5 years now.
How long?
I will kill you all in your sleep. Anyway.
That's the only way you're going to do it.
My challenge. Anyway, doing this job for a while now. Having to deal with a whole bunch of different people. And I've found that no matter what, stupid just does not go with one specific person.
It took you 5 years to figure that out?
Yeah. But it has no bounds. No age, nothing. The most of the time I end up having to deal with, well, at least these days, teenagers.
Yeah.
And everything I've learned from dealing with teenagers, I've learned from one very feisty little man that used to work with us. He no longer works with us. But,
Nickname?
I believe he actually, he used to be on the What the Hell show.
Oh, Ronan Sariot.
You're
talking about K-9, right?
K-9.
Yeah.
Okay, Ronan Sariot.
Ronan Sariot.
There have been a few little misadventures involving, him and teenagers that I've been privy to. But, one of them actually sticks out in my mind the most. We were working at, I believe I've mentioned this site before on one of my other stories, but generally it's the movie theater.
Yeah.
We were driving around.
To describe this place, it looks like a giant... It's supposed to actually look like a flying saucer.
Yeah, a giant flying saucer.
It's a multiplex that I think has 18 movie theaters.
It looks
theaters.
Like a giant hemorrhoid pillow.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. The parking lot on this thing is huge. Ger-fucking huge.
Yeah, I think it has a capacity of about somewhere between 450 and maybe 500 vehicles, and there's two of us to work this site. Yeah.
And it's direct, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and the rotunda in the center is directly designed to make you lose your car.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know how many people have come out the wrong end of the rotunda and gone, my car is gone!
Then they get us to search for an hour to find it.
Calm down, ma'am. Your car's not gone. I'm sure you've just gone all the road. No, what were you doing? You're a dereliction of duty. If you just accompany me to the other side of the building.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you're lucky, half the time they'll just look at you and shake their head and drive off.
Yeah.
Where did you park? But by the white spot. Do you see a white spot? They stole the white spot! What the hell were you doing, bastards?
That was a long coffee break.
That deer shot my paw. All
right.
But anyway.
I'm surprised we didn't mention that in the...
It was about halfway through the evening.
But yes.
We'd already been dealing with various things, drinking in the parking lot. We actually... That night, we did catch somebody having sex in a car.
That's always fun.
Yeah. That happens so much.
What you do is you pull up to them, you turn on your high beams, and you sit there eating Cheetos until they notice you watching.
Me and Mr. Longbeard did that on a couple occasions. It was our entertainment for the night. It was great.
It's quite fun if you actually, you know, if you make the time to do it.
Yeah, if you have Cheetos.
Yeah.
That reminds me of one thing, just to break in for one second. Captain Longbeard is the only one of us who has any brains. He left security about, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years.
And he has never come back. So, Mr. Captain Longbeard...
Yeah.
that's why he's the captain.
You made it out, man. You made it out.
Still here.
Go ahead.
So, we've been dealing with a bunch of stuff already that night. So, we were driving around, and there were these two kids, I'd probably say no more than 16, 17. Fairly close, but they were still definitely under the legal drinking age for Canada. But anyway, one of them had it was one of the tall boys. I don't exactly remember how much beer is actually in it, but it's quite a bit bigger than a standard can.
I think it's a 12 or 14 ounce can.
Yeah, something like that.
Metric, please.
I think it's something like that. Anyways, but he had one of those. But on top of that, he had I believe it was a Mickey of whiskey of some kind, but also a 24 like cube case, like one of the big flat cases.
Lots of beers.
But they put it in a nice little cube form that's easy to carry. But, so he's got that with his buddy walking through the parking lot. We see him drinking the tall boy. So, we just go over there and, you know, technically it is private property. No matter what anybody says, the parking lot is still private property. Until you get onto the street, you are subject to anything that the owner really wants, doesn't want you to do. If you're doing it there, you could be prosecuted.
Something. Doesn't matter. In Canada, drinking in public is against the law regardless.
Regardless.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to interject, I believe the tall boys are 473 milliliters.
And, of course, Captain Longbeard would know that. He comes from experience. But anyway,
I just looked right there.
Oh, yeah. You looked at the can on the table. Okay, you cheated.
The non-alcoholic can.
It's the same size.
All right, go on.
Yes, but anyway, so we stop the guys and tell them, look, you know, you're not supposed to be on the property with alcohol, no open alcohol whatsoever. Well, we're just walking through. I'm like, well, that's perfectly fine, but you're still walking with open alcohol, so. The funny part is, when you're on private property, and you have a security officer that comes up to you and tells you you're not supposed to be there doing what you're doing, chances are you should not argue with him. Now, my partner...
Unless he grabs your wife.
Yeah.
But if he's that stupid, argue with him.
My partner for the evening type of guy who really doesn't like to take shit.
Ronan Sarian. They all know Ronan Sarian.
Oh, yes, they all know Ronan Sarian. Yes. But, of course, he felt the need to agitate things a little bit further. Because he knows he can.
Yeah, yeah, that's
why. And if he didn't do it, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
Exactly. So, he decides, okay, well, these guys have been belligerent enough. Kicking them off the property just is not going to do it. So, he grabs a hold of the 24-pack of beer that the guy has set down on the ground. He's like, well, I'm just going to take these. The kid's like, what? He's like, yep. And he hands me the case. He's like, yep, start, and he rips it open, and he starts dumping them out. He's like, yep, just put it down and start dumping them out. I'm like, all right. So, I'm dumping them out. And the kid's standing there in awe. Because he just cannot believe what is going on here right now. He's like, you can't do that. And he's like, well, it looks like we're doing it. So he's like, the kid's like, I'm going to call the cops. And I hand him my cell phone. And I'm like, here, it's dialing. And I'm continuing to pour beer out. But apparently this was not fast enough for my little friend. So he goes, he says, just keep pouring them out. We had gotten through maybe 6 of them. So he goes to the trunk of his car, and as prepared as he always is, he happened to have this little emergency axe in the back of his car.
No, it is an honest-to-God fucking tomahawk. He has a tomahawk in the trunk of his car.
It's an emergency axe.
It is an emergency axe. For all intents and purposes, it is an emergency axe. With a big spike on the back of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he grabs that, comes back over to the flat, and starts just more or less puncturing them with the axe. I think at one point he had actually tossed one up in the air and then whacked it out of the air
with the axe head
towards the wall. That was quite funny. The entire time, the kid who we had taken the beer from is actually on the phone with cops.
Screaming
at the cops. He's like, well, he's explained to him exactly what was going on and what we had done, right? What we were actually doing at the time. And we're giggling about
this. He's hitting my beer with an axe.
He's like, well, citizen, the axe is kind of weird, but... Well, you are kind of drinking in public.
Well, he's standing there talking to him, and
rage at that.
I don't know what the hell the cops were saying to him, but he's standing there. He's like, "Yeah," and he's doing this. Well, what do you mean? There's nothing I could do about it. He's pouring out my beer.
I paid for it, man.
Yeah. Well, are you gonna send somebody? Okay. Well, we'll see you in a little bit.
Oh God.
So you gotta love it when they call the cops on themselves. It just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
I'm actually turned kind of twisted on this one. I don't know if this is a tale of the stupid or a tale of the really unlucky.
No, tale of the really stupid, really unlucky.
You're underage. You have beer.
Yeah, good point. You're stupid.
Yeah, and you call the cops.
On yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the cops show up.
Right off the beer, take the whiskey and
run. Yeah.
Especially when Kanan's standing there with a tomahawk.
Mind you, that's who has beer, though, is under. You know, if you're in a public place and you've got people with beer, they're underage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it goes. People who are of the legal drinking age don't do that.
Unless it's outside the Super Bowl.
I've seen it quite a bit.
Yeah.
It happens. But the funniest part of that whole thing was not only calling the cops on himself, and, well, they didn't take him away. They just kind of stood there and laughed at him because, you know, we're standing there with 24 empty beers with various puncture wounds and everything in them.
I'm surprised the cops didn't start throwing up in the air and trying to shoot them out of there.
Well, no, they were all empty by the time they got there.
What did the cops say about the tomahawk?
Yeah, because you could have got the species that would have gone, that's a prohibited weapon, sir. You're going to have to come with us.
No,
it's an emergency axe.
Well, no, he said, I believe he had said, this was a while back, so I can't even remember exactly what he said, but I believe he said something along the lines of, well, yeah, I just came back from camping, and, I just came down to work right away, so I haven't even gone home to shower yet, so.
Well, that's what I did with the fish bonker. I kept the wooden fish bonker, and if anybody asked, I went, fishing.
One of the cops told you that was genius, didn't he?
Yeah. He actually applauded me, but he's like, next time bring a fishing rod, because it's... I soon realized the flaw in my
plan. I was bobbing. Yeah.
Jesus.
No, I was actually going on the river and hitting them with a fish bonker. I thought that was the point.
A couple of sticks of dynamite.
Caveman fishing.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's not working. But, somebody hurry up and invent the fishing rod. I'm not going to eat today at this rate. Right.
But that was basically it.
So the cops showed up.
Laughed at the kids. Yeah, laughed at the kids. Asked us what was going on the entire time. Well, when we were standing there pouring the beer out, I think a couple of movies had been let out at that time, and we're probably a good 50 yards from the front doors where everybody's coming out. And
so you got a crowd laughing at him too.
Got the crowd laughing at him too because we're standing there pouring the beer out. And
look at these stupid kids.
Yeah, he's standing
there. Where's
my car? Yelling at us because we're pouring the beer out. And yeah, none of them can find their cars.
So, Captain Longbeard, do you have a story for us?
Her boobs are fake. What?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, sorry, I was a million miles away.
Do you have a story?
No, not right now. I got nothing, guys.
You don't want to tell? Oh, you should tell about the flashlight throwing story. It's not really a stupid story. No, it's kind of a stupid funny
story. Funny story. Okay, you guys want the funny story?
It's got to be quick, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quick. Okay. Well, we got this. Working that very same site, as a matter of fact. And wait, was I working with you that night?
No, it was
no,
with
it
me.
Wasn't me.
Okay, this is the exact opposite of quick.
Anyway, I found this this year pickup truck. It was doing while driving erratically in the open end of the back parking lot, and I figured it's a vehicle, it's out of control, it just moved more than an inch towards me, it must be a threat on my life. So I pulled out my 3-cell mag light and threw it right across the hood of this truck as it was in the middle of doing a donut. Then I thought, oh crud, exact words in my head, I just threw away the only weapon I had to defend myself. I'm clearly not a very large man.
But you got to picture this. No, Captain Longbeard standing in a trench coat with those old security vests we had with the plates in them, and his cowboy hat with the 3-cell mag light, standing in front of a truck doing donuts around him, and he threw a flashlight at him.
Yeah,
the look on the guy's face was fucking priceless.
Yeah,
no, that man's badass. Yeah.
At this point, I figured, well, I might as well just go with it, and I started walking towards him. Well, more like marching, and.
Holy crap, I think it's Bishnu.
That cowboy looks pissed.
They looked at me, they looked at each other, they looked at the flashlight, and I never seen that truck again.
Did you get your flashlight back?
Oh, yeah. It still worked, too. Yeah.
So you chased him off with throwing a flashlight at him, staring at them real hard.
Did you break the window?
No, I was...
You just threw it over the hood.
Over the hood.
Yeah. Oh, it was actually a really good throw, because it just went... I can imagine the guy sitting in the car saying... And they just spat out of there.
Yeah, you can't really accuse me of throwing like a girl anymore.
No. Well, you still did kind of throw like a girl, but it worked.
It was a good throw.
Yeah, do you have a story?
Yeah, I've got a short one. Actually, it was kind of a combination. Me and Mr. Mayhem were there, and I might need help filling in the ideas because it was like 2.5 years ago. But we were doing security for car wash, car wash.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and
car wash. I got to go potty.
Yeah. What nickname do we use for Jay? Was it what we called him? Jay?
Yeah, just Jay.
Jay, okay. Yeah. He was doing patrols there. I was at another site. I can't quite remember where, but I was right next in the area. And he gave me a call and asked me to come down and give him a hand. Now, what it was, there was a guy... Now, this thing was open 24 hours at this time. So you could go in whenever. And a lot of people like to rob the coin machines or thinking they could get coins when they really couldn't.
Wow. That's important. What can I say?
Anyway, he was doing patrols and he had seen this guy. He had parked his car. And he had him and his wife had gotten out, and they were just kind of standing around acting weird. Like, they weren't washing their car. They pulled into one of the slots, so he kept going around, and he called me to come and give him a hand because they started to recognize that his car was sitting there. You can imagine they were actually being observant, and so they got me to come and give him a hand, and me and Mr. Mayhem were driving around. And the one time I came around, I looked, and the guy had put money in the machine, and to make it look like he was washing his car, he was spraying the wall while his girlfriend was rummaging through the trunk trying to find something. So then we thought, well, we should probably call the cops because this guy's obviously not there to wash his car. Right?
He's there to wash the car.
Yeah. So the cops show up.
Never did like how unclean this place is. Yeah.
The cops show up. This is actually kind of sad, too. Yeah. They go through this guy's car. Now, obviously, he was there for like half an hour. He obviously didn't realize what we were doing. He wasn't really that bright. And the cops show up.
Criminals never are.
Did you say he was almost stupid?
Yeah, I'd have to say he was about.
We worked the title into the show.
We are
fucking satellite radio.
Yeah. The cops show up and they pull out all sorts of tools. Screwdrivers, hammers, bolt cutters. I think there was a monkey wrench in there. All sorts of shit.
So he had a Home Depot in the truck.
Basically, yeah. Probably just ripped off the fucking place where he came there.
Thieves' tools is the correct term.
And he also pulled... It was heroin, right? It was a... Yeah.
I believe they
pulled a shitload of heroin off his girlfriend. Now, his girlfriend was, like, 8 months pregnant.
Was she actually using or she was just holding?
You could tell she was using. I'm almost guaranteed. And as far as I can remember, the cops said she had been in rehab before. They were both drug addicts.
So, you had a pregnant Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, basically trying to rob a car wash.
Trying to wash a car wash.
Yeah, trying to be tactical and spraying the side of the car wash.
Did you say tactical?
Yes. That's the term for when you're trying to be tactical and you fail.
Portmanteau, I like it. Yeah. And it's not even a spectacular one.
Okay, I missed something.
Yeah,
that's okay.
But it just astounded
that's
me
that...
That's
not the first time that's happened, Cap.
Yeah, I think she said. I think that hat's cut enough circulation to your brain.
Oh, no, no, no. You actually have to have a brain for that.
Thought we'd just been through this.
But anyway, it's short and sweet, but it was kind of sad. Yeah, you know, because that child's either not going to make it, or if it does, it's going to be all fucked up.
So, no, actually, it'll be born addicted. No.
We've got three things that have been proven by this story. One, don't do heroin while you're pregnant. Two, if you're going to rob a place, only bring the tools you need to rob the place.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, it's less suspicious that way. And three, when you have a diversion, like you're going to wash a car while someone else breaks into something so that they're washing...
Wash your car!
Now, another thing...
It probably needs it.
Another thing these people don't seem to understand is with these car washes, the money doesn't just magically sit behind the panel.
No.
When you put the money in, you can hear it being sucked up. The big tubes on top of it suck the money up. Yeah. Why do you try? He wasn't trying to break into the vacuuming machines, which actually do have money in them. You can get to easier. He was trying to break into the little panel that you put the money into, and you hear. And the thing is, he put money in to start the thing to wash the wall. You would have thought he would have.
Yeah, you don't hear the coins clink. It's like, and it sucks the coins into the main office
specifically to prevent this kind of thing.
Exactly.
So he actually lost money because
yes,
he lost money trying to rob the car wash.
Money, drugs, and tools.
So really, the car wash made... It was a net win. I mean, they made, you know, a buck, and he got his walls clean.
I actually have a really, really quick one, too. We were driving through, and then down to our house. We saw a bunch of cops at this gas station. Now, we found out later on, now this guy had broken into those vacuum cleaners, those portable vacuum cleaners. He had gotten stuck...
In
the vacuum cleaner, trying to take the money out, and the cops had to pry him out.
Oh, good! I thought a different part of his anatomy got stuck.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, sorry. I don't know why he decided to climb up into the...
Well, apparently, what I had heard is he thought that the change that was used or the stored in there was up in the cylinder itself, so he wedged himself in there. Can't really see it on radio.
With
he
his arm.
Wedged himself in there with his arm and reached up and got his arm stuck in there.
No.
And he was there for 2.5 hours
before the cops
phoned him. Well, he was there for 2.5 hours. Then it was another 2.5 hours because the cops were like, no, we're going to have to get a specialist down here to get you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. I guaranteed they're like, yeah, no, we're going to have to wait for a plumber. Yeah. No, sorry, man. We don't want to hurt you. We're just gonna be over here laughing at you.
Yeah. They left the new guy there to supervise, and they all went for coffee and dinner, and then came back.
As it turns out, what had happened was he didn't quite get there, and he wanted his money back.
That's sad.
All right. This was the fourth episode of the Uncle Dax Show. I hope you enjoyed it. God knows I didn't.
When are we going to stop keeping count of these things?
Well, I can count to 7. So when we get to 7, it's either we stop counting or I start
you,
all
you
over.
You do realize again. You have 10 fingers, right?
Well, the thumbs count as 2.
You guys are throwing all this math at me. I can't play.
It's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 7. What are you talking about?
Good night, everybody.